deeper than that. Rashi says, it's on the pasuk, Vayarek et chanichav, Avram is getting ready to go to war and rescue Lot, I believe. All paths for me lead back to Megillat Ruth. And chanichav, Rashi defines lashon chinuch. It's so stirring. Rashi says that chinuch, the Torah perspective of educating our children and ourselves, is preparing the object or the person for their future role. Like Chanukat HaMizbeach was when they poured all the kelim or the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, the dedication, the chinuch, the dedication of the altar or the different things in the Beis HaMikdash, oil was symbolically put, it meant dedicating them for their future role of serving Hashem, serving God. Chinuch means preparing the child for their future mission, to serve Hashem. That's the definition of chinuch. We cannot be mechanech our children as mothers if we're not in an ongoing process of being mechanech ourselves, which in simple words means figure out, each one of you, what modality suits you best to keep on growing in Torah, to keep on deepening your connection to Hashem, to Yiddishkeit. Sadly, I know sophisticated, wonderful women that have had 3 years of Gates at Seminary, have gone through our best systems, and don't have any ruchnius, spiritual, intellectual Torah stimulation, and their connection, has personal connection, has waned. There's no way a mother can be mechanech, can dedicate and guide her child for their future mission without figuring out today. You could dial a phone and get inspiration. I didn't know whether I could say it yesterday, the Shabbos shir, but if you email 613, right, Leah, L-E-A-H, at gmail.com, 613 Leah, please send it out from the kollel and post it on your website. I give 613, L-E-A-H, at gmail.com. That's the way to access my once-a-month phone share, which is before or right after every Rosh Chodesh. I didn't synchronize it yet, that I'll hope I'll be privileged to do it tomorrow night, but it gets recorded for the whole month. So as you're cooking or diapering or relaxing, I hope you know what that word means, you can access half an hour or 40 minutes of inspiration. It is not an easy posture for me, girls, to sit by the landline, by the Rosh Hashiva's desk and talk into a phone. But I believe that it's not always the right thing to run out to a shir. You have to be able to access inspiration at home. I, for different reasons, personally do not want to be on Torah anytime on the internet right now. As the wife of a Rosh Hashiva, I need more interiority, but I know that there's a lot available on Torah anytime. You should go to a shir if you can get to a shir weekly. I know women that have a 7-minute chavrusa 3 times a week with a friend on the phone. You have to figure out how to nurture your connection and deepen your understanding of Torah. Now, if you look at the word chinuch, ches, nun, I have a board? Oh, great. It's my best friend. There are some institutions that I teach in that keep a board just for me. Are there markers? Yes. I don't know how people teach without a board. Thank you. chinuch. It means to dedicate. To dedicate, to prepare the child for their future mission. My father Zitzel, who was a great mechanech, Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zchuto Yagen Aleinu, said in his characteristic way that the smallest word, root of the word chinuch, is chen. Chen. Real chinuch is finding the unique, inimitable chen of each child. It's easy to stuff Cheerios down their throat, but to really relate to them as individuals and figure out what their needs are, instead of, as a mother or teacher, we are not filling bottles on an assembly line at the same moment, generically, right? My parents, Chutam Yagen Aleinu, were great mechanchim, and their strength was, well, manifold, but I think if I had to say, al regel echad, on one foot, what their strength was, they perceived each person as a unique, inimitable individual, and they were very human and down to earth, though lofty. They knew their own limitations and their own capacity to fall, and they never locked themselves in. They always created a new start, so they were able to look at us children and their Talmidim in that way. You are familiar with the Pasuk in Mishle, the famous Pasuk in Mishle, Chanoch lana al pi dako, gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimenu. We have to learn to guide and educate each child according to their individuality. Some children need more parameters, and some children need more just ensconcing in love. Most children need a fusion of both, right? The midah of Avraham Avinu, chesed, loving kindness, and the attribute of our patriarch, right? Yitzhak, absolute parameters, and only the perfect fusion of both gives us the midah, the attribute of Yaakov Avinu, of splendor, of emet, of Torah. But the pshat of the pasuk, the simple meaning of that pasuk, is that we have to figure out the right way with each child. What works with one does not necessarily work with the other. And you know the famous, right? We all get it. Ima, how come you let her? How come you did this for him? Right? We have to develop an answer. Each one of you has different needs. And the end of the pasuk is fascinating. If we perceive them as individuals, gam ki yaskin lo yasu mimena, the pshat is, even when they get older, they will, we hope and cry and beg and plead, this is a difficult moment in time, will not deviate from the values that we mix into their baby food. There are no guarantees. This is a pre-Mashiach moment. We all have, in every family, there are mysteries that cannot be reconciled. Once upon a time, from homes where there were brokenness or whatever, there was fallout. Today, from the most dazzling, wholesome Torah homes, here in Yerushalayim, in the heart of Ma'ar Sharim, in the heart of Bnei Brak, we have pre-Mashiach painful mysteries that we can only accept with subordination of the intellect. We can only say, and this stirs me so deeply, what the mothers said when they went to birth themselves in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, away from the watchful eyes of the Egyptian KGB, who wanted to drown our male children, right? They went to birth themselves in the field. They didn't know that Hashem would send angels to feed the babes milk and honey, and that they would grow up to be able to walk and wend their way back to their respectful homes. It was layers of miracle upon miracle upon miracle. What did the mother say as she left her newborn there up? Exquisite newborns and Ma'ave Eslim in the room. What did she say as she leaves her newborn in the room? They risked their lives. The men did not want to procreate, led by Amram. They separated from their wives. Their wives, the Midrash is so stirring. I've taught it and analyzed it many times. The women, led by Miriam, right, went to the streams and caught fish. I don't think it was chili and sea bass encrusted with pistachios. They were slave women, right? They got fish and water. They prepared supper. You can't talk to a man if he's hungry, right? And as they're getting ready to risk their lives to go out to the fields where Paro strategically kept their men to inhibit, to stop family, intimate family life, they grab their compacts, their mirrors. I have to amuse you. One day I was with the Rosh Hashiva, we were someplace, and I asked him to hold my hand back for a minute, and he said, "Why is it so heavy? What do you keep in here?" I said, "The older I get, I guess my makeup kit gets heavier." But these are women, these are slave women, and they take their mirrors and their compacts and they go out to the fields. You have to learn this in depth one day. The Chachamim, our sages, tell us what they said to the men in the most, as only a woman could, to risk their lives and procreate in the fields. Shlomo HaMelech sings about it, Tachan HaTapuach Oratich, I aroused you under the apple tree. So they risked their lives, right? And then when it's time for them 9 months later to give birth, they birth themselves. What do they say as they leave the babies in the field? Hayta moseret et hanar laKodesh Baruch Hu ve'omeret, Ribono shel Olam, ani asiti et sheli, ata aseh et shelcha. Hashem, here's the child. I did mine, and now you do yours. We have to be able to put our heads on the pillow every night. We want to be able and say, Hashem, I tried to do mine. I tried to go from one avoda to another. You girls are doing such a delicate dance of juggling, right? I tried to do mine, but you do yours. You have to. Lo aleinu hamlacha ligmol. It's not for us to finish. We can only plant seeds. You know what it says about the farmer? Ma'amin b'chei ha'olamim v'zoreya. The farmer takes his precious seed, we're very far removed from an agricultural society, which is edible, and he takes his seed and puts it in the ground, and there's no guarantees that it will flourish and produce. Ma'amin b'chei ha'olamim v'zoreya. That's us as mothers. We say, Ribono shel Olam, I'll do mine, I'll mix Torah into their baby food. We're not Torah spoon mothers. But when I say mix Torah into their baby food, I love this analogy. You know, I traveled as a teen, as a young girl and a teen, 3 buses each way from Far Rockaway to a school in Brooklyn. It didn't meet my needs perfectly, but I didn't want to go for different reasons to the local school, which didn't meet my needs at all. I wanted to go to a stronger atmosphere. Sometimes I was the only white girl going through certain neighborhoods. My parents weren't afraid. It was a different moment in time. Why did I bring this up? Wow, I am distracted. Humbling. Where was I going?
It's not just me then. My thought halfway through. It's not just me who loses my thought halfway through.
You were telling us that you needed to go to a different
mixing Torah into the baby food.
Mixing Torah. Oh yes, thank you. Mixing Torah to the baby food. Right. So occasionally I would sleep over by my grandmother Zichron Alvachaz, who was 6 generations born in the old city of Yerushalayim, opposite the Kotel. one day I would sleep by her. It was wonderful, and she told me stories of old Yerushalayim. It was really a gift, my mother, Al Hashem's mother. One day I had unbelievable cold, a massive cold. I was in high school. She put a vaporizer in my room and mixed this, put in some, it didn't smell like Chanel No. 5, some foul smelling, I don't know, something. And I had no choice but to inhale it because it was vaporizing the room. I love that metaphor. We have to vaporize the atmosphere with that which is precious to us. It's not overtly, contrary to what you might think, I was not a Torah spooing mother. They can't handle that. My father Zitzel used to talk about the subtle art of Judaism. Yes, of course I share thoughts with them. But that's what we have to do. The atmosphere has to be vaporized with our values. And if you want it to stick, listen carefully. It's one of the most important things that I could share with you. If you want it to stick, it has to do with simcha. Simcha, simcha, simcha. Anytime that there is a beginning, there is special simcha. We wine and dine the chasm kala, sheva brachot, right? Why? Because they are dedicating, they're creating their own miniature sanctuary, mikdash ma'at. We want it to stick, we want the union to stick, we want the home to be. We ensconce them with simcha. You buy a new house, chanukat habayit, the dedication of the home, is a gathering, a suda of simcha. I can't tell you how hard it is sometimes to put, and I brought a picture to show you, to put the pain, the angst, the mystery, whatever we're feeling, whatever we're dealing with, in a pocket and say, now Hashem, I'm in the next pocket, now I'm with the children, now I'm present, now I'm having supper with my husband. You know what I used to do sometimes? It didn't always work. When the nest was full, I would give them supper. It didn't work out, rarely work. It didn't work out to have supper together, usually. And I would say, Kindalach, now the Chasam Kala are having supper together in the kitchen. If you need something and it's very important, you could come in. And if not, not. And that was wonderful for them to hear. In fact, when I would freshen up, before he would come home from Kailo, I would freshen up. I am not a chassid of the women that doll themselves up to go out to the marketplace called Gourmet Glot or whatever it's called here and look like shmatas at home. Explain to me, what is that about? I never saw my mother's chutay again, Elaine, look less than beautiful if she was cooking 25 pounds of gefilte fish from scratch in a commercial-sized pot. Do you girls remember what Fortunoff's was? So the original Mrs. Fortunoff, Zichrona Livracha, a totally secular woman, was friendly with my father's itself mother in East New York where I was born. I vaguely remember the first store. She knew that the future of Israel is in education. And she would gift my mother Aleh Shalom with commercial sized pots and linens to fuel her avoda. In fact, her son that had a gorgeous store in Long Island near where we live did something for our yeshiva, and we went out to the Levaya. We couldn't go to it was in the Reform Temple. We went to the Beis HaChaim. The point being that my mother Aleh Shalom, if you are a Bat Yisrael, Tzniut, modesty, Kisui Rosh, head covering, it has to be beautiful. Parenthetically, girls, after we were married, I would go with my mother, Aleh Shalom, to Indian sari shops, I'm admiring your headgear, and buy sari. I wish I could do it today. I think I would be a little bit scared to go there. We would buy sari. I have one piece of, and to tie up mitpachot. I would tie it up with gold, with ribbon, and I still have that, and pearls. It has to be beautiful. So what one of my children would say when I freshened up, Ima, where are you going? I would say, I'm not going any place. My chasam is coming home. That's important. no matter how hard you're working, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility even at how we look. Even I tell you something fascinating that Rabbi Sheila Feinstein, Zichrona Livracha, daughter-in-law of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, told me. She said she was with her mother-in-law, and there were a group of kollel young women that were learning the Rabbi Moshe's kollel, which is still on the Lower East Side. And they were dressed in models' coats. They were sitting together near their apartment house. You know, models' coats are like very simplistic robes. One of my many vices is that I love to be at home in a robe. My robes are beautiful, but really beautiful. Some of the Shabbos robes graduate and become everyday robes because I believe that's how you have to look at home. And they were on the, I don't know, shabby but simpler side. And Rebbitzin Feinstein, when Moshe Zatzal's wife, I davened at their kvarim, on Ham Luchot, where our precious daughter, Ruchama Alei Shalom, a 22-year-old daughter who was niftar 15 years ago, she rests on Ham Luchot. Rebbitzin Feinstein said to the women, she said in Yiddish, young women, what do you think? That because your husbands are in the Beis Medrash, there's no Yetzer Hara there? That they don't need you to look beautiful? I was so awestruck by that story, Shana Malka. So awestruck. We have a responsibility. I didn't even know how I got here. I wasn't planning to say that to you. But that's okay. It's whatever Hashem puts in my mouth, right? And yes, we were talking about Simcha. So I did bring you an unbelievable picture that I'll pass around. Our husbands and children need an aura of simcha. Torah does not stick. It was given originally with great simcha. We are getting ready to accept Torah again. When Hashem brought down Torah to the human circle the first time, it was a new world order, and he said, give the Torah, see if the women will accept it first. Kotomar lebet Yaakov, right? Now in the year Tavshinayin Tes, we are now in the sphera getting closer to Hashem giving us the Torah again, and he's looking at us, women. Are we going to grow in Torah, mix it into the baby food of our children? We don't commemorate something that happened. I once had an experience many years ago where I was speaking for some big, I think it was Hachnasas Kala event in Borough Park. I was one of the first, and maybe at that time, one of the very few women speakers. And they couldn't get a hold of me. It was before this time of the year. So they entitled my shi'ul, "It's Not Just Cheesecake." That's not my style. I had to speak in Miami for the Sheikh of Itzheim, it was at the Gilat Ruth Shir, and they looked at a New York circular. They didn't even bother to call me. They also called it, "It's Not Just Cheesecake." And they made the most fantastic cheesecake that I carried through customs, a cheesecake decorated like a tea kettle. The point being, no, it's not just cheesecake. We are, the Rabbeinu Shalom, just like in the Haggadah, we said, in every generation, we have to perceive ourselves as leaving the shrine. Now we have to perceive ourselves as this is every coveted day that leads to Matan Torah. And we, women, Hashem will look at that strata of the population and see if we accept Torah b'simcha. How do we fuel our joy level? I just need a napkin as an eraser. Oh, great. How do we fuel our joy level? It's not a push-button process. We are certainly not of the pill-popping society or whatever else is used to engender what's called a sensation of pseudo-happiness or pleasure. My father's tzal taught us this. Maybe it's more known now. David HaMelech says, "Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha." With joy. If you rearrange in the divinity of Lashon HaKodesh, which is my mother tongue, if you rearrange the letters of the word bisimcha with joy, you get the word machshava. It comes from the dot, from thinking. It's not a superficial. We need to take inventory of our chasadim. We have to thank for every wisp of chesed, for the fact that we're healthy at Ma'avesim, that even if we're struggling economically, but we have what to eat, that our husbands are anchored in Torah, that you live in such a precious community, take advantage of what you have. I've traveled widely across the United States, Canada. My phone share about the month actually started when I spoke in London a few years ago. That was quite something, and the women wanted continuity. Now I think this 613 Leah@gmail.com, I think that the phone share is available worldwide, certainly in Europe and in Eretz Israel. Nurture your dot, your intellect. Stimulate it with Torah. You know why we can't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? This is, I invite you to Farakway, to our home, to Lawrence, to our Beis Medrash, on top of the beautiful Beis Medrash in Shar Yashuv. Rosh Hashiva chose to put the words Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. David HaMelech says in Tehillim 13, in Tehillim 19, the words of Torah, the intrinsic nature of Torah is that the words of Torah are Misamchei Lev. Learning Torah gives happiness. That's why we can't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av except what pertains to the Chorban, to the destruction. So I do want to share with you a story. Not a story, but something that was life-altering to me, and then I'll pass around a remarkable picture. How could we sustain being b'simcha when at this moment of the gullus of the exile, ein sham bayit asher ein sham nisayon, there isn't a home that's exempt from some pain, some mystery. I speak from the trenches. The Rosh Hashiva and I carry tremendous personal mystery, other than that which is obvious to the public, that we had an incredible child, Ruchama alayhi shalom, but Rav Naftali Halevi Shlita, Shibadel Lechem Tovim, who was entrusted to us for 22 years, and Hashem had a better plan. I was sure we would take her to the chuppah, because I said, Hashem, you invested in her what so few women are gifted with. She was utterly brilliant. Do you know anybody that got A+ in organic chemistry? And her heart was deeper and richer than that. I can't even describe to you her chesed, her loving kindness. But that's what the public knows. Then there are other mysteries. I have no complaints. How is it possible that my own joy level is so high? I look at the Rosh Hashiva. I don't know if you've seen him or met him. I hope you'll hear him tonight. Doesn't he exude simcha? Obviously. Yes. When you learn Torah, it's simcha. But I want to share with you something that was life-altering to me. I was a very young mother in the Catskills. Yeshiva owned the bungalow colony. For 18 years, we would go to the bungalow colony where there was a woodsy base medrash, a little store on grounds. When my parents were healthy and alive, we were in primitive bungalows. They had were in a winterized house. And my children would say to me, is it going to be this way when Mashiach comes? Ishtachat gafno, ishtachat te'inato, very bucolic. No fear of akum, like in New York, whatever. One day, it was a horrifying tragedy. A stone throw away, how big is the Catskills? A Hasidic older couple, survivors, Baba B'chassidim, were murdered in their bungalow. It was well over 30 years ago, I think. I was beside myself. first this week, I don't know if it was Kids on Drugs, I don't know, we never saw that. I was so haunted that I couldn't function. I think I was also afraid. My bungalow was right by the woods. There was a path leading from the main road to my bungalow. The Rosh Hashiva, who was a young avrech, sat in that woodsy base medrash till 2-3 o'clock in the morning easily. I was heartbroken, and I think I was also afraid. I called up my father, Zitzel, and I said, Abba, I'm stuck. I can't think about anything else. It's so sad. I wrote this up for the Bina one day. They should really reprint it. It was in the Sukkot edition. And I don't think women preparing for Sukkot had time to read it. What I wrote in the article in parentheses was, I called my father, Zitzel, and in parentheses I wrote, he knew the fine art of validating before it was vogue. He said, my father, Zitzel, said to me, my kin, it's taka, a terrible, unbespeakable, incomprehensible tragedy. Silence. But a yid has to have pockets in their heart. Take the angst, take the pain, take the mystery, take the fear, put it in a pocket, then switch to the next pocket and go out, pick the flowers that you love, take your kinderlach to the pool. The way a yid is wired is that we have the capacity to have pockets in our heart. Where would I be if I didn't have pockets in my heart? I'm not saying it's a push-button process. It involves training, it involves the intellect. There's always the pocket of pain and mystery right here. But it doesn't prevent me from switching gears and saying, Hashem, but now I'm going to enjoy the moment, enjoy the nachas. I play accordion. You know what an accordion is, girls? You probably do. Some of my grandchildren didn't know what it was. I play keyboard, I play by ear well. And generally, once a week, if it works out, I have our older son's family for supper. Don't be impressed. Before I tell you, can I know they have 10. And I usually order pizza, so don't be impressed. And sometimes, I remember recently, Eli Melech, at Ma'av Eslim, he is 5 or going to be 6, I'm honest. I was happily exhausted, and I sit with them, and I spend time with them. The older girls are 19, Leva's post-seminary and teaching, and Hank is 7th grade, and Sarah's graduating, she's 18, all the way to a 1-year-old. Exquisite little soul who has Down syndrome. And Hashem looked around and said, I'm going to entrust this little jewel to this family. They love her so profoundly. It was a jolt. And Hashem only chooses very carefully to whom he bequeaths such an unsullied, pure soul. And it's wondrous for me to see the children doing justice to them. I love this little Henny so much and watch her sometimes when I'm at home. So this little Elimelech, I was happily exhausted. You could be exhausted from heavy things, and I've coined the term, I'm happily exhausted. We have to be grateful, right, when the exhaustion is from happy, normal, healthy, juggling life. So he looks at me, Safta, could we make a concert now? I couldn't even imagine how I'm going to lift the accordion. I play, I give them instruments, I have a bag of instruments. Do you know what that does for me when they're dancing in the kitchen and I'm playing music? We need to celebrate every moment of chiyus, of health, of nachas. I want to show you an amazing picture. It's a picture of my father's itself. The cancer, la'aleinu, was in the spine. My mother was diagnosed at 42 and left us at 47. I only had a mother for 28 years. Cherish your mothers. Transcend irritants. Be machabed your parents. My father's itself was barely 65, 66. They were like bright meteors that flashed through the sky, touched, lit up the darkness of the generation. Yes,
yeah.
In the 70s, hippies, Jewish kids coming from communes and experimental lifestyles. You girls haven't heard of Bob Dylan, have you? You have. Came to our house. I imagine. I took a guess. You heard of Bob Dylan? I took a guess. Came to our house. Somebody from the music world, a Jew, came to our house. I was officially allowed to cut high school to meet him. My father's itself spoke about the centrality of music in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a wondrous way to grow up, to see people choosing Balei Bechira. And that's one of the things that moves me so deeply, how the Kollel offers Torah and people choose it and grow. It's so magical. But my father's itself, the cancer was in his spine, and I don't know how many. He had at least 4, 5, 10 hour surgeries to remove bone and put in artificial legs. He taught Torah to the last second, and when he was always in discomfort. When the children, when we would walk in with a grandchild, he was so in the moment, he put everything in a pocket, and he would try to make the children laugh. He had a voice-activated flower that he would sing to, and the children would watch it dance. He had a ceramic cup. We're talking about Adam Gadol, a very great person. He had a ceramic cup, and inside there was a frog attached that he would make the children laugh with. He had a very big Talmid Chacham friend that was like an absent-minded professor that had different challenges. He was serving coffee in that cup. He would come to the end of his coffee, and there's a little frog looking at him. He would make him laugh. This is a picture of my father's itself. I want you to see he's already leaning on a silk pillow, so he's already not well. He has a chef's apron over his talis katan, and he's preparing Greek herring salad for his shalashudas tish, his shalashudas table, where he said so much Torah that he asked to be buried with a part of that table. There's an ancient minhag to take into the grave something that will advocate for us after 120 years. It was the start of the Intifada. Our Yishmaeli cousins, Yimach Shemam, were throwing rocks. The procession was going up to Har HaZeitim, where my parents rest on the Mount of Olives. They were throwing rocks on the Aron. I want you to look at this picture and see how he has the pain, the fear that came along with the disease in a pocket, because now he's in the avoda of preparing for Shabbos. I love this picture. Does it look like a man who is in discomfort, has cancer in his spine? He's in preparing for Shabbos. We have to be thrilled to prepare for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. You want your children to love Shabbos and Yom Tov? I teach in Shalhevet, Rabbi Talbert's organization in Borough Park. Once they sent me a list of their thousands and thousands of tapes. You've heard of Rav Shimshon Pinkus, together they started this organization. I've been teaching there over 30 years. So I'm looking at their catalog and I see my own shiurim, you know, that I've given over the years, and I see one chinuch tape is entitled Friday Phobia. And I'm thinking, what could I have possibly said that they entitled it Friday Phobia? And I'm thinking, racking my brain, and then I realize what it is. I was privileged to nurse all 7. I love to nurse. And I realized after birth one time that my wellspring was dry and the baby was crying Erev Shabbos because I was too stressed, right? And I thought to myself, this baby is not going to like Erev Shabbos, because we impact on them from even before that, from when we carry them. I said, I better revamp how I'm going into Shabbos so that the baby shouldn't be hungry on Erev Shabbos. I don't want the baby to have, they call it, Friday phobia. But yes, our responsibility is to ourselves first, that I want to conclude on this note. We cannot talk about positive chinuch, which really means that 24/7 we have to exude and say and vibrate to each child and to our husbands, I believe in you. I believe in you. You know, it is an unbelievable chazal. That must be a bee that fell off the shirt. It's okay. It's okay. I don't think I have patience to sew beads back on. Just stay on beads. In my spare time, I should sew beads on. I embroider. I make Rosh Chodesh blouses for my granddaughter. Sometimes I like to embroider. It says in Shiras Ha'azinu, Kel Emuna. Hashem is a Hashem of Emuna. You know what Chazal say on that? One of the things. She'emin ba'olamo ubra'o. First, before creating the world, the cosmos, Hashem said, my world, I believe in you. And then he created it. Meaning for the world to come to its final plan. We don't understand. It seems to be unraveling like a big bobbin. But Hashem is bringing the world to its final plan of Mashiach, of perfection. It seems to be veering off course. Yes, it says that after the 6,000 years, Atida Kadosh Baruch Hu lechadesh et olamo. Hashem will renew his world. Seems like the old world is disintegrating fast in front of our eyes. We are living in a doomed host culture. The Western Hollywoodian Madison Avenue culture is doomed. I don't have to explain it. But Hashem said, my world, I believe in you that ultimately you're going to fulfill my will. That's our behavior pattern as Jews, especially as mothers. I believe in you. I believe that the real you is good, has seichel, has intellect. The way you're acting right now is not in harmony with your real self. The way you articulate it right now, the way you phrase that, that's not really who you are. That's hormones, that's peer pressure. You're overtired, you're stressed. We have to communicate. I'm shedding beads. I must be very animated. We have to communicate that to our husbands. I believe in you. The real you is the person I linked my life to. The stressed, the overstressed, all our husbands have their challenges. We have to treat them as we want to be treated. The basis of marriage, it says in Kiddushin, when the yeshiva learns Kiddushin, the Rosh Yeshiva says to me by the table, Edison, do you know anything from Kiddushin? I say, Asara kabin shal sicha yardu la'olam, nashim natlu tisha, right? We were bequeathed and entrusted with 9 out of 10 measures of speech, because to deepen the quality of a marriage and inspire our children, we need more words. Another Gemara that I know in Kiddush, I think he wants to show the Bachram that women have to learn Torah too. A man is not allowed to be mekadesh a woman until he sees her. Shema yimtza ba'davar meguneh, lest if he is mekadesh without seeing her first, he might find something unappealing to him. V'rachmana amar v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. The point being, Hashem said, the Torah says, the basis of marriage is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Treat the other person as you would want to be treated. I don't want to be treated as the haggard, tired, overtired woman of the night before. I want to be looked at anew every day. We have to look at our children anew every day, not like the child that drove us bananas the night before. We have to look at our husbands anew every day. I want to be looked at anew every day. And so I want to end on the following note. It says in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph, before I give you something that you might, that you will appreciate. Gomel nafsho ish chesed. The true person of chesed, of loving kindness, has to know how to do chesed with themselves first. That's the mitzudos. you have to be in touch with your needs. When are you hungry? When are you overtired? When do you need more sleep? When do you need to take a walk? You cannot be chesedic. We cannot be kind, truly hear what emanates from our husband's being, or truly know the needs of a child if we're removed from our own needs. That's the mitzvah, that's the pshat. Rashi says, gomel nafsho ish chesed. Nafsho means krovav. Chesed begins at home. I don't want to hear about women who bake for the kippah down the block and do organizational work and are totally removed from hearing the quality of their own marriages or their home. Chesed begins at home. Now, the Gaon Mivilna says the following. If you are a person, man or woman, whose raison d'etre, as we say in French, that's one of the only expressions I know in French, from my father's account. Reason for existence is to emulate Hashem, to give him nachas, to do mitzvah, to do chesed. If that's our thrust of our lives, then even the activities, neutral activities that you do for yourself, get on the elliptical, I do. I force myself to. I have a woman almost my age, a secular woman, that comes to exercise with me, a trainer once a week, because I'm too happy to go from the study to the kitchen, from the kitchen to the study, and I started feeling sciatica a few years ago. Said, I can't have this. I hired her. I figured I'll learn what to do for 3 months. I never dropped her on the basis of this pasuk. Gomel nafsho ish chesed. She's taught me so much. Do you know how many times, Rosh Hashiva said I could do it on Shabbos, you know how many times, Shane and Malka, I got down on the floor and stretched yesterday in between shiurim? So that, and it's wondrous, right? And when I get down on the, when I get on the elliptical, don't be impressed, 10, 15 minutes, and then all I want is to reward myself with chocolate. And then 15 minutes on the floor, I have 5 pound weights. I want to be able to lift my great-grandchildren in Netz Hashem. I think for one Suda I have 15 or 20 bachrim, but that will be the only one, the Shabbos before Shavuos. Do you think I would have energy to lift those pots? I can't stand aluminum foil. I shouldn't be saying it to you because you girls have to use foil. But do me a favor, put parchment paper in it. I don't believe foil is healthy. I serve in these beautiful ceramic pottery things. They're heavy to lift. I need to exercise to keep limber, right? But I know it's a mitzvah. I learned it the hard way. In my 20s, it seems like another life. I was Hebrew English principal and teaching of a school that today flourishes, Benot Bes Yaakov, in our neighborhood, that was started by my parents. A Mack truck could have broken down. Who could be Hebrew English principal on raising a family? And I did break down. I paid a price physically and emotionally before I left and put my heart into adult education. So part of my tshuva for that time of my life is sharing with you that we can't talk about chinuch or nurturing a marriage unless you recognize gomel nafsho ish chesed. Look it up in Mishle Yuralev. I think it might be Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'm not sure. Look at the Mitzudos. Look at the Rashi. Look at the Gaon Mivilna. It's the second pshat of the Gaon Mivilna on that Pasuk. When you see it inside, it will impact on you more profoundly. And so, on this note, can I take the picture back?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. On this note, I want to hand out, actually, okay, you'll have this out, please. And I have one more handout. Both. One is a tefillah of the Chazon Ish Zatzal, where you put in your children's names. I don't see why you can't throw in a husband's name. They could be children too. Are you giving me aerobics? So this tefillah that I'm going to give you now, thank you. this?
Yes.
Okay. On the back was a quote that I spoke about yesterday when we spoke about Megillat Rut. I walked into my father's house study one day, many years ago, and this quote of the Maharal was on a ceramic tile. I'm sure a woman did that. Do you think male artists, do you think males find the quote of the men find the quote of the Maharal and paint it on a ceramic tile? To me, this was the answer. What makes Ruth give up her future? Naomi says to her, you have no future, and joins Am Yisrael. But in the context of our discussion this morning, this quote that I'll read and explain, do we want our children to choose Torah and grow in Torah? Every droplet of Torah and inspiration that we put into our lives, bespeak and the way we interact and speak, the way our children see us in moments of tension, the beauty of how we carry ourselves, walk, talk, dress, reflects the beauty of Hashem. The quote of the Maharal is on the words, Zekeli Vi'an Vehu. This is my Rabbanu Shalom, and I will beautify him. How do we beautify Hashem? Adam hana'e b'ma'asav, from a person whose actions are beautiful, nir'a ba'olam noyo v'hadaro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From a person whose actions are beautiful, the beauty of glory of Hashem shine through. Lama nikra shma Naomi? In the story of Ruth, why was her mother-in-law called Naomi? Shemi'imim ma'aseha. Her actions were so pleasant that Ruth said, wait, I saw how she carried herself when she was very rich. I saw how she carried herself when tragedy, unspeakable tragedy hit her. When she left the Moabite city, Rashi says, the heathens felt her absence. We want our children to choose Hashem and Torah, our actions, how we carry ourselves, predominantly how we speak, right? Predominantly how we speak, that has to reflect the beauty of Hashem. When we turn the page, this is a quote from the Chazon Ish Zatzal, where he says that more than our proactive intervention in the situation, more than our proactive, we're obligated to make efforts for parnasa, livelihood. We're obligated, yes, to proactively do certain things. But sometimes our hands are tied and we can't really affect the situation. We have to remind ourselves that the one who davens and pleads incessantly affects more than the one who does hishtadlus. And we don't usually think that way. We think, well, I'll do whatever I can. I'll send out 1,000, resumes for shidduchim if it's somebody that needs a shidduch. And I'll also daven. It's not and I'll also daven. It's to recognize that the incessant pleading and over the, that some of my best daven is over the kitchen sink, girls. It's our inner dialogue, and not one wisp of any tefillah evaporates. So this is what the Chazon Ish Lezal says. We have to remember that we can't really effect anything. When we actively make hishtadlus, what we really have to recognize is through our hishtadlus, we're opening up the gates of rachamim, the Hashem should bring us the parnasa or bring us the nachas now. Umisha mitpalel umarbet hachanunim, The one who davens and pleads incessantly, and it means your inner dialogue as well, not just when you're formally holding a siddur or a tehillim. Who po'el yotel mi hamishtadel. They accomplish more than the one who can proactively do. There are situations in our lives at this moment that my hands, very painful situations, that my hands are absolutely tied. I cannot affect it at all. And the more I'm trying to assimilate this, I recognize that my tefillot, formal and informal over the kitchen sink, the Chazan Ish is telling us, accomplish more than if I was able to actually go and do something. But we're Americans. We think we're in control. We think that we can only do and do. And if we don't do, nothing happens. Train yourselves to have an inner dialogue. I feel very sad for the woman that doesn't talk to Hashem throughout the day. We're nurturing our marriages, we're bringing up our children. Most of us have parnasa obligations. We have obligations to each other. We don't live in a vacuum. We want to give to the communities that we live in. I have many obligations. You haven't figured that out, right? But I'm trying to be in one avoda at a time. I teach a lot about, textually, that's from the Sifrei Chaim, about what's menuchat ha-nefesh. What's our most precious commodity, girls? Our menuchat ha-nefesh, our inner peace. If you have menuchat ha-nefesh, you have everything. I know people that live in castles and have private jets. I'm not kidding. Yachts, multiple residences, they wouldn't know what menuchat ha-nefesh is if they bumped into it. And I cannot thank the Rabbeinu Shlomo enough. We, Rosh Hashiva and I, we talk about it all the time. That despite many nisyonot, life tests, we have menuchat ha-nefesh. Trying to train myself to be in one pocket, one avoda at a time. Menuchat ha-nefesh means putting the totality of your being into the avoda of the moment. You know what's a myth? Multitasking. It's a myth. Yes, as women were able to do and listen to different children, things at a time. But when you're sitting and talking to your husband, be fully present. It's called active, it's very in vogue now. It's called mindfulness. I have a few tell me dogs that are therapists in my Lakewood Chabura, not only my Lakewood Chabura, my Lawrence Chabura, they teach mindfulness. And they love it when I source it in the Torah. But it's a lifetime struggle. If you think I'm perfect at it, no. I'm made out of the same stuff as you, probably flimsier. But I'm trying to be in the avoda of the moment. So I want to conclude by giving you where you can insert the names of your children in Shema Koleinu. As I said, I don't have a problem with throwing in the husband.
You gave it to
us. I gave it to you? Oh, okay. Thank you. At this stage of my life that the peanut butter fingers are not tugging at me, sometimes I get to say this tefillah 3 times a day. I love to go into the Rosh Hashiva study, and I need, the Kuzari says that just like you have to feed your body 3 times a day, and again, we women are obviously exempt, the man has to feed his soul 3 times a day. You know what the Kuzari says? That from the time one davens shacharis, I'm talking about a man, and goes out, he says, to the street, this is, I think, I'm guessing, over 1,000 years ago, he could have seen such and heard such horrible things and music in the street that he has to feed his neshama mincha to restore it. That was over 1,000 years ago, right? I remember my grandchildren coming in from Yerushalayim when they were there, and I made them a beautiful breakfast, and then I was going to take them on their first train ride to Cedarhurst from Far Rockaway. To a Halav Yisrael ice cream store. And then I realized, and I gave them lunch first, and then I realized I should probably daven mincha. So I go into the study to daven mincha, and they said, well, the little one said, Savta, but you just davened already. So I said, on the basis of this kuzari, you just had lunch, but you just had breakfast. Maybe I even made pancakes. You needed lunch. our neshama needs, my neshama needs to eat again. Now, of course, you're at a different stage, right? But when you do, and you should aim for one Shemona Esrei a day, because our own words cannot capture what the Anshei Knesset Agdola, among them the last three prophets, put into the Shemona Esrei. So we're on the second paragraph that's underlined. Shemaran HaChazan Ish Sider Nisech Tfila Le'em Leman Bena. The Chazan Ish chiseled out a tefillah for a mother to say for her child children in Birkat Shema Kolenu B'zeh HaLoshon. Yihi Ratzon Fanech Hashem Elokeinu V'Lekei Avoseinu Shetarachem Al Bini. You say your child's name and your daughter by name. V'tahafoch et levavo le'ahava u'liraa et shmecha. Please make my child's heart, incline their heart to love and be in awe of you. V'lishkot b'toatcha k'dashah, to learn Torah diligently. V'tasir milfanav kol hasibot haman'ot otom mishkidat toatcha k'dashah. Please remove all obstacles. We can't live for our children. We can't choose for our children. What they see on the street in one day is more than what our ancestors saw their whole lives in Europe, even if they were merchants. The Rosh Hashiva's Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva's grandfather, was gabbai to two Gerer Rebbe's, and he traveled across Poland selling cosmetic and perfumes to women, the Gerer Chazek. Could you imagine? But what a child sees when they go down the block, at least in New York, in some places, right, is more than he saw his whole life. Please, Hashem, remove all catalysts that prevent them from being diligent, being connected to Torah. V'tachin, prepare